Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast, a show where we're going to chat about all things summer camp, from games, spiritual activities, to scheduling, staffing, and more. Brought to you by Bryant, Connor, and Jackson, along with other staff, volunteers, and campers of Chioka here in Calhoun, Louisiana. Hey everybody, this is the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. I'm Connor, here with Bryant, Jordan Malarski, and Jackson. Jordan, just to introduce yourself, could you tell us a little bit about it before we get into the podcast itself?
Yeah, Jordan Malarski, I'm kind of over all the maintenance, all the facilities. I guess my actual role is a facilities director, but been here just about a year now and been working in ministry for close to 10 years altogether in different churches. And man, it's been a great, great, great opportunity, and I love getting to see everything the camp has done and has to offer. And so appreciate you guys having me out here to do
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
Absolutely. So today's topic is on teams from the perspective of the various teams that we have here at camp. One being that we'll discuss briefly, maintenance is the one that Jordan is heading up. But yeah, we just like to first introduce the various teams that we have here at camp. Would you like to just introduce those and maybe start with the first?
Yeah, we have maintenance, of course, which Jordan's going to go further into that one. We also have activities, programs, KP.
Which is?
KP.
KP.
KP is like kitchen. It's like cleaning the mess hall, making sure the meals are ready. Basically that.
Yeah, we even have like photography.
Yeah, we have photography. We have
office work.
Yeah,
where they just kind of like laminate stuff or something.
Yeah,
I think they do more than lamination.
They do a lot more than that.
Lamination team.
We haven't really. None of us have gotten to be a part of the office work
it's
one.
Probably,
but they do a lot of
probably for the best.
A lot of paperwork. Yeah, stuff we except I wouldn't be good at.
We also have programs, which is over spiritual activities and other things like that.
Yeah, in the night.
I mean, counselors, of course, is kind of a team.
Yeah, so, those kind of just make up the sum of, like, just, I would say, the background of the experience that a lot of times campers and, like, the general public just don't see. And I think that that's very important to have in a camp is to just, like have solid team members that truly care about the job that they're currently placed in. So that they can do the things that a lot of people don't want to do, and ultimately that needs to be done. And that would be kind of just some of the discussion that we'll have here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I kind of think like that counselor role is like what people generally think of when they think of working at a summer camp.
Yeah.
But out here we kind of have like the programs team taking care of like all of the spiritual aspects of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like that big focus on the big nighttime spiritual activity that like kind of ties everything together throughout the day, gives kids that hands-on experience. And then we have like our activities team, which is like taking care of all the fun,
all the games, all the nightly games,
set up and tear down, and all that.
Like the teams are like making sure everything goes real smooth.
Kind of, it helps the people like people from the outside like what they don't see, but what it helps is counselors understanding what it takes to run a camp, like what it takes maintenance and the appreciation of maintenance when you're not on it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
After
just
going through
me every week, not on maintenance.
Yeah.
I'd be a, not the ideal maintenance man.
Jackson knows his weaknesses.
I think we brought up how I wouldn't do well on maintenance in almost every podcast.
Let it be known.
Yeah.
We'll let Jordan talk a little bit about why I wouldn't make a great maintenance in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll break that down.
Exactly what it takes and exactly why I don't have it. But all of them kind of have these different roles, and like, I don't know, they're all really cool and special, and different people fit into them in like cool ways. Like, I think Bryant really loves activities, and like, he fits super well there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Connor's made a great maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Jordan, obviously. The goat of maintenance.
I wouldn't go that far. I do like it, though. I really do.
I particularly like the counseling role. I haven't really gotten to do
anything else
yet, so we'll see if I like anything else when I get there. And then just kind of talking about, like, what makes good, like what do you think has been, like, a key trait for your guys? Like, what have you really liked?
Yeah, I really like what you said. Like, it's really just the appreciation of what, I guess for my team specifically being maintenance, you know, I do this job year round, just even outside of the busy summer season where, you know, we're running 9 weeks of camps. And so I'm doing this job and we have rentals and stuff like that come to the camp. And, you know, for me, you have to have an eye for seeing what a first time visitor might see. Is it, you know, John Luke and I, we've talked about this a lot, but is it, my mind's blanking now, but everything we want to do makes it just easy, obvious, and strategic. So we want to make it as easy as possible for any guest to be here. We want it to be very obvious as to where they're going, what they're doing, what's next, and everything that we do, if it's a major change, we want it to be strategic enough that we can use it for more than one option. Mm-hmm. And so everything that we want to do is easy, obvious, and strategic. And because we want any guest or any person or any camper or parent or whatever it is to have the best experience they can. And so for me, I want anybody that's going to be on my team, I want them to be a problem solver. And you have to be with maintenance. I mean, we've got, you know, at the very minimum, 120 kids on a slow week in the middle of the summer. And so it's hot in Louisiana. So we got coolers, we got trash we're having to constantly do, and we have projects that we do. We have to fix things that break, which happens quite often. We have to, you know, plunge sewage pipes and, you know, literal feces coming out of the ground. And, you know, none of that is what you would put under the definition of fun, but the understanding of a deeper perspective of knowing that what you're doing is actually making a massive difference for, even if it's for one kid. Yeah. And it sounds crazy, like, all right, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm digging up a ground in an old septic tank because it's going to help a kid. But no, it is because it makes a difference of this counselor or this director being able to stay in this area. And okay, what if they have to move? And they know, like, kids know this person's all located here. And it just goes on and on and on down the list. But man, I want a problem solver, not a problem creator.
Yeah.
Anybody can see a problem. It does not take talent for anybody to see that something is wrong with anything. What I want is someone that can see a problem and come to me with at least three solutions, saying, okay, we can do it this way, or this way. And man, like, that to me is somebody that actually cares about the bigger perspective of everything. So if I have that and somebody with just good character integrity and willing to go the distance, whether they're good at what a maintenance person needs to have, they don't need talents in that. They just need to have the mindset of like, hey, I want to help and I want to make things better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. So would you say that like generally speaking, that's what defines like a good team member, to like see like issues within their given context, and to make clear and decisive decisions of what to do like in the midst of that issue or decision that needs to be made?
Yeah, I would say so. Not necessarily, because a lot of times being a team member isn't making a decision.
Mm.
It's coming up with possible decisions.
Yeah.
That you can bring to the team leader.
Right.
And say, okay, this is what I've seen. This is what I've noticed. Here's how I think that we can help, or that we can move forward from that. At times, I mean, obviously there's different positions within a team, and if you have the role to where it's saying, okay, I can make this. Like, I know from, let's just put it in my role specifically. John Luke is my boss. Mm-hmm. But I know the ceiling of, I can go this high in making all the decisions from the ceiling under. That John Luke, he trusts me to do. But anything that reaches to a certain point, whether it be like, okay, this air conditioner was, you know, broken in the boys' lodge. Okay, it's going to take a lot of money to fix. I can't make that decision, and I'm not going to make that for him. I'm going to put that in his lap. But I'm also going to say, okay, here's three different options, which I did today. Here's three different options of what we can do to fix this with the different price points or different, you know, the best way to do it for the camp or anything like that.
And feeling comfortable enough to like give him your input. I think absolutely. That's something that he like has been a good leader in the sense of like,
that's exactly right.
Letting us know like our authority level, like what we have the option, even as counselors, yep. And like like summer staff.
He wants you to be part of the solution.
Exactly.
And rather than just keep it to yourself and complain about it. He wants you to bring it to the table and see what you can do to move forward rather than.
Yeah.
Well, break that down biblically. Think about it this way. So David was anointed to be the next king, right? And Saul was one of the most insecure leaders ever. And he put David in charge and, you know, just he would freak out anytime David did something great. And it just really made him even more insecure. And next thing you know, he's trying to kill the guy. But you look at somebody like a Pharaoh with Joseph. Joseph was ridiculously talented. The Bible says that everything he put his hands to was completely blessed. And, dude, Pharaoh just kind of stepped back from everything and was like, hey, like, you're number two in command. Like,
go do.
I trust you. Go do what you got to do. And it made Pharaoh's, like, kingdom and everything he ruled that much better. And it never took away from the leader.
Mm.
It was just very clear, like, hey, just remember, you're number two, you're not number one, but walk in that. Like, I trust you. Saul was so terrified that David was going to become greater than him that he tried to get rid of him, and he was just so insecure. And that's what I feel like so many leaders in today's time, they become a Saul-type leader where they just end up putting a cap on their really, really talented guys because they feel threatened.
Yeah.
And John Luke is just not like that. Like, he'll ask me questions sometimes where I'm like, hey, should I really be putting input on that? Like, you know, but I mean, I feel honored by it, and I love it.
Yeah. And then, like, as a team member, like, as us as team members and counselors, I think it's important to remember that, like, our job is to, like, help them too. Like, mm-hmm. to make sure that we keep the mindset of, like, not getting, like, prideful or, like, arrogant about stuff. And, like,
yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, our pride and arrogance could bring that upon somebody too. Like, make him feel like we don't deserve the trust he's given us.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Making sure that we don't abuse it and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that does. I mean, that also comes with a lot of a learning curve as well, because you almost have to do that a couple times before you realize, okay, I crossed that line.
Mm.
Now I know where the line is. And so that's been the story of my life. It's crossing way too many lines to find out where they were, just to come back later on and be like, yep, don't want to go there again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to answer your original question, you said that really what makes a really good team member. In any team, in any of the teams that we listed out, not just maintenance, for me as a team leader, or what I want to be in the team that I'm included in, is FAT, F-A-T, like faithful, available, and teachable. If you're those three things, you'll always have a job somewhere.
Mm.
If you can be faithful to what you're doing, whether you like it or not, doesn't matter, just be faithful to it. If you can be available when you're needed, and if you can be teachable, nobody wants anybody on their team that cannot be taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really the worst.
Yeah.
Well, available is a really big one with teams, being with the schedules being a little loose this year and what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. like, once you get your task completed, like, we spoke on free time earlier and how to use that wisely. But availability, not only to your task, but then to your team member or your team leader to discuss, like, what needs to be done the rest of the day, or what are we working on for tomorrow, or do you need me to do anything else? Like, just making yourself available rather than...
Yeah, not making it super difficult on your team leader to find you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want it to be another job for them to have to keep up with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a really common problem. I mean, it's just, the thing about it that it's crazy, because it's just simple communication. And it's almost hypocritical for me to speak on, because I'm a terrible communicator, and I have to consciously work on being better at it. You know, I'm a really, like, naturally trusting guy, and there's times where I want to trust people. Like, I see potential in somebody. Like, think about Jesus, right? I mean, that dude chose a 12-man team, right? He had his 12 disciples, and one of them was a complete bad egg. But Jesus chose him not because the dude was going to just go off the rocker. He chose him because he had ridiculous potential.
Yeah.
And it was really on Judas whether or not he wanted to step up to the challenge and meet those expectations.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Jesus was a bad communicator. It's just that Judas didn't ever want to meet him. And so for me, I've got to make sure that I communicate with my team and my team leaders the best as possible. And I want my team to succeed, man. I want to do everything I can. And sometimes I'm too quick to step out of a situation to allow that person to step into where I'm stepping out on purpose. And then I end up getting upset because I'm like, man, like, they had an opportunity, they didn't take it.
Yeah.
Well, it's really my fault as the team leader because I didn't communicate what I wanted them to step into. Hmm. Even though it might be theirs because it's pretty obvious, I still should have probably communicated it better.
Yeah.
And as a team member, you've got to have communication with your team leaders to know exactly like what they expect of you so you can meet that expectation. Or just even if it's, hey man, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because if I come back and I put a team a task and I see that everybody's doing their job except for this one person, I'm like, okay, where are they at? They just ghosted and I have no idea and they're gone for 30 minutes and they're just, you know, their guts wrecking them and they've been on the toilet for 30 minutes. But I don't know that. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where they just disappeared
to. Your first thoughts don't go to maybe he's doing something he had to do. Maybe it's...
Exactly right.
He just didn't want to do the job.
Yeah. Exactly right.
For sure something I've learned as a counselor too. Like counselors are kind of on these two-man teams.
Oh, yeah.
And like when your co-counselor leaves to do something that was important, like it was like they needed to do it and like they got called away by someone higher up, like John Luke asked them to go do something.
Yeah.
But like they didn't communicate that to you. You're going to get frustrated.
Your
like
first thought's 20 good,
kids.
True. Yeah.
You definitely think they're being lazy somewhere. Like that is always your first thought.
And another thing to think about too is like, just because John Luke asked you to do something, in our minds, it's okay, let me drop what I'm doing because the boss man just asked me to do something, yeah, right? Yeah. But a clear communication even to him saying, okay, would you mind if you give, can I wait 15, 30 minutes to do that because I need to communicate with my team? This is what I'm doing currently. Most of the time, he'd be like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's what he wants you to do.
Don't leave right now just because of this, but I want you to finish your current responsibility, then do this.
Yeah.
But it's difficult, especially for someone my personality. I'm like, you know, I have a really hard time, like, putting things into priority because I want – to make sure that I'm doing a good job throughout. But man, just that little bit of step of the communication with him in that moment would have freed up that entire situation.
Yeah. And I think it's so awesome that John Luke is like, he's really understanding to know that, okay, you're working on something or okay, that communication needs to be met so that like everybody can be on the same page so that there's no like frustration among co-counselors, frustration among like other teams, like whatever that may be. I think it's really awesome that like as leaders they understand that level of okay, like I need to make sure this is done so that there's no miscommunication, no issues, no problems.
No, absolutely.
Something I've been thinking about that's like kind of random is have y'all thought about this like rotating system we have? So like some background information is that there's like we work on a different team every week, so like you might be a counselor one week and then maintenance the next and activities the next, and like you're kind of constantly rotating through these different teams. Have you all thought about like, do you think that like, have you thought the rotating teams has been like the best way of doing it, like really efficient? Like what have you thought about this like system of rotating as opposed to like sticking with one team all summer or like something, you know what I mean?
I was getting ready to ask about the same question.
Ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we kind of talked about it briefly before, but I think really setting people up to succeed is the best way possible. I really do like the rotation of teams, even though it actually makes my job harder because I'm having to teach a new maintenance team every single week.
Yeah.
And really they don't start clicking in till Tuesday, Wednesday at the earliest. And so it's like, you know, now we're halfway done with the week and they've just now gotten it. Those first few days were not easy, you know, Sunday to Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it is. And so, but really and truly, when from my position, what I see in the rotation is you're giving each person a breather because it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're on maintenance. You're going to be pouring out somehow spiritually. Because what we're doing is we're a Christian camp, and everything that we do is for the glory of God. Like we're putting out there everything we do, whether it be counseling, KPE, programs, activities, maintenance, whatever it is, you're constantly pouring out. And so you're going to get exhausted. But if you're doing just counseling to where you're really more pouring out spiritually throughout the day, and then very active, like just think about this week being day camp and just you've got really young kids and they're always ready to go. Now you're even pouring out physically, emotionally, spiritually, you get drained. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. I mean, I listened to a message the other day where it was like talking about just getting drained spiritually and in your life. And man, like it happens so much quicker than what you think. And what I like about the rotation is it actually gives you a breath where you can step out and be like, all right, like, I love doing activities. Like, let me go do this. But if you did activities every single week, by the end of the summer, it's a whole lot easier to take that for granted and not realize, like, okay, like, I've gotten really comfortable.
Yeah.
But in your entire walk with Christ, he never wants you just to get comfortable. You've got to be able to step out of that a little bit. So it does give you a little breather to be able to swap up. And you know, I know this is the first year we've kind of really done this, and there's going to be some, you know, tweaking, I'm sure. But that's the reason that I like it. It's because I've actually seen it in people. I mean, who would normally ask to be on maintenance other than, okay, I just need a little breather, and maintenance would be really good for me just to work this week. Like, just put in some physical.
Yeah. Well, you kind of spoke on it before we even started recording, is the fact that not everybody's built for maintenance, but it's important for everybody to get opportunity, not only to appreciate what they do, but also to, like, to fail.
Yeah.
To figure out who they are and to develop further as a person and build character through learning what they're good at and what they're bad at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think failure is one of the biggest things that our society misses out on now and tries to prevent you from getting to. But, man, failure has taught me more than winning ever has. Failure has taught me wanting to win even that much more. Failure has taught me wanting to be better than I am right now. And if I'm not progressing in myself and who I am and in my relationship with Jesus every single day, then, man, that's failure, and I don't ever want to be that. I think it's kind of a little bit off topic, but kind of on the same way, but we get into, like, this comparison mode. And I think when you get into, let's just say you're a counselor for 3 or 4 weeks straight, and next thing you know, like, you start comparing yourself to other counselors. Okay, well, maybe I'm not nearly as good as that person. Maybe I just need to go to KP. Maybe I'll be good at that, or this, that, and the other. And comparison becomes so massive in today's society. But we always end up comparing ourselves to people who we think are better. But you'll never be, like, you cannot ever, like, it's Jordan Peterson that says this, but you got to compare yourself to yourself yesterday. That's the only thing that you could ever compare yourself to that actually makes sense. And I think, I mean, that's what I've seen a lot this go around this summer, is people, there's a lot of comparison to whether, like, it's themselves a long time ago or this person next door. And I really do think, like, man, like, the swapping up, and it makes a difference. And yeah, I want the guys that are terrible. Like, Jackson being on maintenance would be the thorn in my side, I'm sure. But at the same time, like, he would get one thing out of that week. And whether it be just a deeper appreciation for what we do and make him, like, he would probably go back into being a counselor next week saying, hey, guys, pick your cups up when you leave this area. Yeah. Throw it away. Like, it would
trust
make
me,
him
I,
think
I
about those
y'all,
things.
Trust
no,
me.
No. That's why I didn't say appreciation. I said a deeper appreciation. So, but
it's
yeah.
deep because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, man, failing at something is so valuable.
It's like in John Luke, in that staff meeting that, like, I mean, I guess you probably weren't in there, but we had a staff meeting, and at the end of it, he just said, I want to say it was 2 weeks ago. Maybe 2 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, he had a staff meeting about just, he told us at the end, like, guys, I want you to go out there and fail this week.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I want you to go out there and try things that you haven't tried before, come up with solutions and implement them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they fail, they fail. And, like, I want you to take those risks. Because he was like, I want y'all to try things and use your talents and your gifts and, like, maximize the usage of those. And if it, like, crashes and burns, that's okay, as long as you're trying to do something positive.
Well, you said, it's like, fail with good intentions.
Yeah, it's like you're looking after, like, you're looking to meet the needs of a child. Like, you're putting the camper first. And it's like, if your intentions are fixed on, like, serving someone else and you fail, like what's the hurt in that? Like, if you're, you see what I'm saying? So, like,
he said that's always a win in his book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as a team leader, I never want to have to push people to do something.
Yeah.
Constantly, like, okay, come on, you can do it. Like, move forward. Like, just pushing them and pushing them. Like, pick it up. Like, just do something. I would much rather, like, have to grab somebody and pull them back and say, okay, take it easy a little bit. Like, going a little too far. But I love that, because it's just taking initiative in something. And I think a lot of times, like, people are afraid to take that risk because of the possibility of that leader saying no to their idea.
Getting reprimanded or anything like
that. Not even necessarily reprimanded, just turned down. Yeah. Like, hey, here's my three solutions. That leader saying, yeah, I don't like those three solutions.
Yeah.
Well, now you've worked really hard into something, and now that's almost a shot to your ego and to your pride and to who you are. But really, it's not. What it's showing is, for me, if that happens, this happened multiple times this summer where I have to say no to these things. But really, like, I'm basing that off of, I know what my leadership wants in this area, and I know that they wouldn't want these three things. But at the same time, I'm absolutely loving that person for even trying that.
Yeah.
And that's where another thing, communication comes into handy. Yeah. It's like, I need to communicate that better to that person. Like, thank you so much. And this is why it's a no. And not just a no.
Yeah. Well, the importance of being on a team is, like, what we just talked about, is the willingness to try something new on a team and being willing to fail. But that builds flexibility. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the most important things to be a team member, is you got to understand how to be flexible.
Yeah, and I think even from, like, even from the point of each week, you would have the, there's a chance that you could be on a completely different team. And so, like, being flexible defines that exactly. Mm-hmm. And so without this sense of flexibility, the desire to say, okay, like, I could be completely somewhere new. I could be on maintenance. I could be on programs. I could be on activities. I could be counseling. Like, it doesn't matter, but I'm just willing to serve. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to seek the glory of God in every single opportunity, every single chance that I have to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks volumes for a future team member, a current team member. Or honestly, like, just here on staff as leadership, that's something that they implement well also.
I think a person who is very flexible and just willing to serve and do what he's asked because he understands the importance of it is Brad Gregg.
Mm.
He's on KP this week for the first time, and he is grinding.
Yeah.
Like, he is doing such a great job. He was sweeping the mess hall
at like 10:30
last night.
Yeah.
When it's only staff here and it's not his job.
Kids have been gone for 5.5 hours, and the man was sweeping the mess hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no one asked him to do it.
Yeah, he just
did. I guarantee you. I don't even think there was anyone in there. There was three of us in the gym.
See, it's so much easier to go above like that, even for him. Like, it speaks volumes for the type of person that he is, first of all. Like, let's not move past that. Like, the dude's got ridiculous character integrity. But if you think about it in the way, too, of that guy really understands the grand scheme of what we want to do at this camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he understands the future. He understands our end goal. He's got it. So it's easier to work for something that you truly understand, that you can actually agree and grab a hold of the vision of something and be like, now this is my vision. Because I'm working for this and working with this, this is now my vision too. And so then that's where flexibility comes into play. That's when you actually become flexible without realizing it.
Yeah.
Like, you can jump onto anything because it's not about you or what you're doing or who you are or anything. It's about
achieving that goal.
That's right.
Well, I've noticed even in myself or in other people is once we begin to get a little bit upset of what we're having to do.
I thought you were about a really humble brag right there.
Oh, no.
I thought it was about to be a moment of like, well, this is how I am. And
no. That was our whole last podcast.
Oh, I was hoping it was going there.
The whole last podcast was just a Brian Humble book.
Oh,
but we asked him to do it, so it's
good.
Anyways, a thing that I've struggled with, and when I notice myself getting prideful or notice myself like not being so willing to do the task that's given me, is when I'm forgetting why I'm here.
Yeah.
Forgetting why I'm in Louisiana in the middle of summer. All summer, sweating, taking trash out. But it's not for my own glorification. It's not to do with the job that I want to do. It's to serve God and help kids have a safe place to have fun, have a Christian environment to have fun, and to find truths of God.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I would love to see more is like outside of just like a staff meeting or something like that, maybe next year being able to implement some times where we can really just get with the counselors, kind of like we've been doing this whole week, but being able to do like a night at least a week with the counselors or something, maybe whether it be on the, you know, the night before camp starts, even if it's on an off day or something, that we can help renew that, because it does take a lot, I mean, to be able to keep that, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you forget it easier when you're just kind of left to a point of like, all right, here we go, another week, saddle up. But I mean, dude, like, what God's doing in this moment in every single person's life here is he's literally stretching you. that, I mean, when you go back to your normal lifestyles after working out here for a summer, it literally feels like Stretch Armstrong, where God's just got you like to a point where you're about to snap. You're going to go back to that life and everything's going to just go back to normal. But you're going to find that you have way more capacity to handle more stress. Mm. You've got more capacity to handle more of a load on your life than what you had before you got here. And that's all God wants, is he wants to stretch you every single season of your life for you to be able to take on more into your life. Is he never wants you to stay stagnant and be happy with who you are and how great you are right now, but man, grow.
Yeah.
Like, constantly move forward.
That's right.
And the three of us were literally just talking about, like, just how many opportunities camp has given us this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as 20, 19, 20, and 21 year olds, like, the opportunity we've had through camp to, like, help start these huge ministries and, like, be a part of, like, mm-hmm. the planning and, like, the big scale of it, and, like, we've gotten to be in, like, all kinds of roles, speaking roles and leading yeah. things that we never really would normally get an opportunity to lead. Even as yeah. a counselor in the past, we've never had the kinds of responsibilities that we've had this year.
Yeah.
So, like, knowing that as, like, a future counselors, like, might hear this, is, like, I think it's crazy. Like, be ready to be stretched. You have to come in with a mindset of, like, I'm going to have a lot of responsibility.
God, like, just use me.
Yeah. And, like,
help me be ready.
You have to be ready.
Confidence.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pray for confidence coming in.
Praying coming in, saying, yeah. God, use me in all the ways I could never imagine.
Yeah. It's
like, there's so many things I never would have thought I was going to do this summer.
Mm-hmm. And, like, and we were talking about that week two.
Yeah.
It's like, we're 2 weeks in, and it's like, we're already doing things that we could have never even imagined.
Yeah.
And, like, here we are, like, last week, like, sitting around talking about all that God has done and is going to continue to do through this ministry, through these teams, through every single person here that is at Camp Chioga.
Yeah.
I just think that is a testament to who he is and what he seeks in every single heart that has any experience with Chioga.
This podcast itself is an example of something we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I mean, let me tell you exactly why you received your opportunities. Like, you didn't come here expecting them.
Yeah.
If you would have came here expecting opportunities to do things like this, most likely you wouldn't be able to. Not because we're going to look at you and be like, forget that guy. It's because God knows your heart. He knows exactly who you are. He's looking at you constantly. And he's like, okay, let's give these people opportunities. And that's what a lot of people I see constantly tend to forget is, John Luke makes a decision, he takes the blunt for it, whether it's good or bad. In reality, we forget that God's actually putting that decision in place through John Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is what it is, or myself, or and through you guys, or whatever. So it was God seeing your hearts coming in here that he allowed you to be elevated into the positions and the opportunities that you had.
Yeah.
And so it's coming here being completely humble. I mean, dude, the worst story of it's so embarrassing. My very first semester of Bible college, I had been preaching since I was about 16 years old. At this point, I was like 21, 22, went to Bible college, very large church. I went up to the youth pastor on the first Wednesday night, and I was like, hey, man, like, if you're ever out of town or something like that, like, I've been preaching for a long time. I can speak for you if you need me to. Oh, my gosh. I didn't get an opportunity to speak for at least a year because my character integrity was just like, hey, I got it. I'm the man, right? Like, I can remember the motivations behind everything. Like, I can remember going up and being like, yeah, I got this. And it was just like poor. And God was like, yep, he's not ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it's that was in me, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so that's a heart check for every person to get, like, okay, I don't deserve the opportunity, but if I receive it, I want to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kicker. Mm-hmm. No. I'm not, I can't. Okay. Now you're being like a false humble. Like, no, just be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
When coach taps you on the tail, says, get in the game. Hey, know the plays.
That's right.
Like, know what's going on in the game.
Got QB here.
well. But I mean, that's, when John Luke asked me to speak the other day, I was like, all right, cool. I've been praying for you guys for a solid summer now. And I mean, the first thing that went to my head is I had three different things. And I was like, man, which one do I choose? Like, all right, Lord, like, tell me. Like, I already knew. I already had ideas of what I was going to talk about if I ever had the opportunity. And it wasn't like, oh, God, give me an opportunity to speak. Like, oh, man, if I never had it, it was all right.
Yeah.
But I knew what I've been praying for y'all for specifically for the whole summer. So it's like, all right, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Kind of being ready for like whatever plan God implements.
Yeah.
Like you just got to be prepared, not like anticipating.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand is coming here and getting swapped over onto activities team. That's an opportunity for you.
Oh, yeah.
Getting put as a counselor. That's an opportunity for you. Like every single team that you're put in a new season, a change is a new opportunity. And so being here just every week swapping up and doing something different is a new opportunity, and it's up to you whether or not you're going to allow God to do something in your life.
And that is so evident in me because a little bit about me, I've been trying to get here for, this is my fourth year attending camp. This is my first year being able to be here all summer. Hmm. And so I've been trying to get here for 3 years and, you know, getting distracted with football and school and just not being able to come down here from Missouri. And then I get here and I do staff training and they put me on maintenance the first week. And I'm so ready to pour into these kids and I'm so ready to just make the impact and be the difference. And then I'm like, wait a second, how can I do that on maintenance? And I was like, okay, big reality check. This isn't about me. This isn't about what I could do for these kids in the first place. Mm-hmm. If I can make a difference picking up cups and changing trash,
mulch
and then mulching, you know, spreading that mulch. If you don't know, we got a lot of mulch here in Chioka.
You got some mulch, boys.
Like, it wasn't about me in the first place, so I'm not, when my role changes, God's hand in the situation doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, he was still able to use me as an empty vessel to pour out into the kids, even as a guy on maintenance, just being willing to, when I have free time, invest.
Yeah. And think about this way, for me, like, with having you there for the first week, I don't remember a single thing, like having a problem with you or anything like that. Like I don't have a single negative memory of that. But man, we easily take the word opportunity, especially in this context, as being like, okay, God giving you an opportunity. So this, something that, but you know what? Like, man, a week on maintenance, you never know who you're going to meet. You didn't know me at all. Like, I could have been some filthy rich guy, and next thing you know, like, hey man, call me when you get out of college. I got a job for you.
Everything
you do, like, I'm not the person that takes things immediately to the spiritual side. I take the Bible quite literally when it says, "Deal with the first natural, then spiritual." Like, you know, you're driving down the road and your tire goes flat. Oh, it's just the devil. No. It's not the devil. It's that you haven't changed your tires in 35,000 miles, you know, or whatever it is. Like, okay, like, I got the flu. It's the devil's after me. It's these demons. No, it ain't, dude. It's like you've been around a bunch of sick kids or whatever it is. It's just, it is what it is. Like, stop. But really, the opportunities that God gives you could go so much more than just a spiritual one. Mm-hmm. But it's always spiritual because people are constantly watching you, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
They're watching your mentality. They're watching who you are. I mean, there's campers out here that has completely excelled at everything, and there's people that's failed in a lot, and there's people who, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's evident, and not just by me, but by anybody that just sits back and looks for a few minutes just to notice, like, all right, it's like you guys, you notice Brad, like, sweeping. Like, he wasn't doing that for self-recognition. It was, he saw a job, he saw a need, and he met it. Like, that's all it was.
It's like I said, when he was in there, at first, there was literally no one within a quarter mile.
Yeah.
Everyone was in the boys' village.
Yeah, we were having a party.
There was literally a party going on. And Brad left to sweep the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's just the willingness to come in as a team member. If you get put on a team right off the bat and it's not your ideal situation, just being willing to do what God calls you to do, and that's serve.
That's good.
Dude, yeah. The first job I ever had in ministry was literally a janitor for a very large church. And man, I used to be so bummed about it too. Like, I hated stacking chairs. I hated moving them. I hated cleaning bathrooms and doing this different stuff. And then the kids pastor of the church was like, he was walking by one day and I was dust mopping the huge, like, foyer area. And he just screamed out, "Sermon prep!" And I said, "What?" He's like, dude, you got the best job in the church because you can listen to worship music, you can listen to podcasts, you can study the word, and nobody will ever mess with you. You have sermon prep going on right now. Everything that you're listening to, you can take in. You can spend more time with Jesus doing this job than you can do anything else in the church world right now. And I was like, man, he is so right. Like, you can get more hang time with Jesus doing things if you just take a step back and notice it. And really and truly, like, man, that was a life-changing job for me. So I became closer to Jesus cleaning women's bathrooms after conferences and doing things by myself, and then just vacuuming and sweeping and wiping things down and pressure washing, and oh, I can go on and on and on. Even parking cars, like, I just hang out with Jesus, talk to him. Somebody flip me the bird, be like, okay, Lord, I need you right now. You know, like,
flip to the bird in church parking lot.
Oh, yeah, it happened a lot. I'm just glad you're here. You need it. But it is, man. Everything can be sermon prep. Everything can be, preparation for that time when God calls you up, like, and he's ready to go with it. Like, it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would even, like, I don't know, I guess, like, kind of getting towards, like, wrapping up, I think, like, one last thing that I think of when it comes to being a good team member and, like, what it takes, like, prepping to get here and stuff like that, is practicing humility. Like, learning to... I think that's one thing. I think it was a key part of being a part of a team is practicing humility, doing things, like forcing yourself to do things that like take away your pride, I guess.
Yeah.
And just being ready, like practicing that throughout the school year, like getting ready to come here in the summer, being ready to serve and have that humble heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything you think, like, what do you think would be great for counselors to do to come in here and work?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying is 100% right. Come in, not expecting anything, but expecting everything. In the sense of, don't expect to be the guy that changes or the girl that changes everything. Like, because most likely you're not going to ever be that person.
Yeah.
But if you can come in and help change one life, you've made a difference for an eternity, and now you've changed everything for someone. And then at the same time, like, man, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. And I'm the worst at that. So it's like, okay, well, how do I practice humility? How do I, okay, you want me to speak tomorrow night? Would you help me think through that? Like, or whatever it is, like that is humility that will always, always be valued.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Well, just to close, thank you guys for listening. Jordan, thank you for coming in and sitting in and sharing your infinite wisdom on just the roles that leaders seek in a team. And again, just thank you guys for listening.